And we return. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. Our Food and Dining Thursday is here. Chef, author, syndicated columnist Linda Gastenheimer is with us. Linda, I know one of your top passions is dessert, and especially chocolate.
How did you know that?
It's only been 14 years. And we have an internationally renowned chef with us for tips and lots to sample, and we're going to have a real production going on, I can tell.
We sure are. Mm-hmm. We sure are. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
Nice to be with
Hi.
You, Joe. Chocolate. Need I say anything more? You know, diving into a piece of chocolate cake, and my favorite, licking the chocolate frosting, or biting into a rich chocolate brownie. It's a passion for many of us. And as one of my friends said, told me, it's not a coincidence that chocolate and gold are sold in bars. So Chef Alan Susser is our guest today. He'll give us his secrets for choosing, tasting, and cooking with chocolate. Welcome, Chef Alan.
A pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure to know. He's filled this studio. Wow. We'd also love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any chocolate questions for Chef Alan? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
Or email radio at WLRN.org.
And also with us, our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype. You can read Fred's wine column in today's Miami Herald. Fred, wine and chocolate?
Well, it's kind of surprising what you can drink with chocolate. In fact, you mentioned that chocolate is sold in bars. Well, beer is sold in bars, too.
So I was talking about a different kind of bar.
Good one.
Okay, Chef Alan, just quickly for everyone who's now salivating thinking about chocolate, there's a special chocolate event this weekend. Just tell us what it is.
There is. It's an international chocolate festival down at Pinecrest. It's the first one in Miami, first year for this event. And it's going to have chefs and chocolatiers and really a wonderful event. Outdoors, lots of chocolate tasting, and mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of fun. And some learning as well. I'm going to be there teaching how to make chocolate and how to taste it.
Whoa, okay, that's this weekend, Pinecrest Gardens. Well, we've been telling everybody to fill the studio. So I've got this funny-looking thing in front of me. It's a log. It's kind of a 2-inch log, a thick log, and about, 6-7 inches long. And it smells, oh, my God, it smells so good.
And so you've got a grater there, so that must be involved.
Yes. So what am I doing with this?
Okay, that you're going to grate. That actually is what we call chocolate tea from St. Lucia out in the West Indies. Well, the chocolate I brought today is from St. Lucia, Jade Mountain. We have an organic farm with about 400 trees, cacao trees it's called. And
wait, this log
sure
turns into this chocolate I'm drinking. This has nothing to do with tea. I mean, this is like, it's thick, it's unctuous, it's got chocolate, but there's a lot of other flavor in here. So now that everyone's got drooling over this thing, Alan, what's this all about?
Okay, so the chocolate tea actually has English background to it. A lot of the Caribbean islands that had English ownership through the trade days of 200 years ago. This chocolate, they grow chocolate in St. Lucia. The chocolate is then rolled with spices. Okay, so it's
this
the chocolate
has
bean
the spices
is
in
that,
it?
That actually has the spices in it.
Mm-hmm.
So what it has is a little bit of nutmeg, star anise, a little bit of cayenne, cinnamon, bay leaves, depending on who and what, because this is made by home people, grandmothers, mothers, and very traditionally used for celebrations in the holidays. But a lot of kids grow up drinking it. It's a hot beverage. And what you do is you grate it into either water or milk and boil it. So you're boiling just like steeping a tea. And there's no sugar in it in this log.
But this tastes
very,
very sweet. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I add brown sugar to it.
Uh-huh.
And then it can be thickened with a little bit of flour, cornstarch, or just cooked down. So that's the traditional way it's made. So it's a thick, chocolatey, very aromatic, a little bit spicy because it's a little cayenne, the star anise, the bay leaves.
But I don't taste the hot spice.
No, I kept this kind of mild for you.
Oh, you knew me.
Yes.
Thank you.
But this is a traditional way of enjoying chocolate because chocolate melts at body temperature. so that at 92 degrees, it melts. And so that in the Caribbean and Africa, where all the chocolates are being grown, they can't produce chocolate. Chocolates are actually produced in non-growing areas in general.
But they grow the pods?
They grow the pods.
But that's it. That's all they do
They
there.
Grow the pods. Mm-hmm. They ferment them. Okay, so everywhere it's grown, it's fermented there, dried usually naturally by the sun, and then it's polished. And that's called a green bean, a green cacao bean or cocoa bean. That's
sold on. Chef Allen, could you do this with something serious like Scotch bonnet peppers or something?
Oh,
like
yes, you could. You can. You could do that. I actually infuse some with whether it's chilies or like Scotch bonnets or curry or coriander. Just amazing things you could do with chocolate nowadays.
Yeah, then sneak it over on Linda.
It's a good thing you're on Skype, Fred. It would be dangerous here.
Yeah. The cocoa beans are generally sold like that. So from there, cocoa beans are sold around the world to the United States, to Europe. None of the European countries actually grow cocoa beans. None of them grow their chocolate.
Even Switzerland?
They do not grow there. They buy beans.
So we're always told, Belgium, or Bonnie said, Swiss chocolate is so wonderful. And so is it better than the chocolate we get here, that we make here in the States?
Well, it's the producer. It's not the bean. The bean, there's several different varieties of beans, just like in grapes. We can refer to Fred on that. Just like grape varieties, there's bean varieties of cocoa beans.
Or
coffee beans, exactly. And so that actually they grow very close to each other. The coffee beans and the cacao beans are very similar in processing. But they are sold off in Switzerland or Brussels or France or Germany, whoever's making it. They then they roast it, and it's the process of roasting and conking and grinding it together and adding their formulation of sugar or vanilla or any sort of additives that they add in. That's where it is. It actually is the Swiss Mr. Lindt is the gentleman who developed this process called conking, which is actually what brought it to the finer chocolates. In the early days, in the colonial days, chocolates was only for sipping. It was bitter and it was only for sipping, as in Mesoamerica. Chocolate started off as a beverage. It was
the Aztecs.
Yes, exactly.
Had chocolate. It was like a spiritual drink for them.
But it was a beverage, and it was bitter, just like tea, just like coffee.
Now you keep mentioning Saint Lucia and these trees there, Alan. Are you making chocolate there? What's happening?
I am.
He has a huge smile on his face when I say that.
Jade Mountain is the place that I work with, and I do the food out in Jade Mountain. The hotel is beautiful. We have an organic garden, and on the garden, part of the garden's 30 acres, we have about 400 cacao trees. So I've set up a chocolate lab where I've learned to make chocolate. Before that, it's been about 2 years for me to learn how to make chocolate. I didn't know about chocolate. I ate chocolate. And even learning the difference between what chocolate is and candy, it's completely different.
What do you mean by that?
Well, candy is something that you grow up as a kid, and you can eat a full bar of candy, and you don't think twice about opening a bar because you're supposed to eat the whole bar.
Or melts in your mouth, not in your hand.
There you go. That's what you that's what you taught, and that's what you have in your head, and it's right. It does. But chocolate, fine chocolate, is completely different. And actually, that's something I'd like to take you through, is how to taste some fine chocolate.
Well, we've been waiting.
Do that.
Because in addition to this wonderful chocolate tea, we've got chocolate in front of us.
Okay. So before, what I'd like to do, you also have some beans in front of you. So before we do that.
I was going to put it. No, I can't eat it yet.
No. I want you to wait. Take the bean that's in front of you. I have some roasted cacao bean. Okay. It's a cocoa bean.
It's
roasted.
It looks about the size of an almond.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so that I just take it and crack it and just close it in your hand for a moment. Everyone do that. And then open your hand and get that smell. Mm. Okay.
Oh, but it's pure chocolate.
Yeah.
Smell, but there's nothing else in it. This is just the pure chocolate.
This is pure
chocolate.
No sugar,
nothing.
Nothing. So this is how it starts off. Then we make it into chocolate by adding generally very little. This is what you have in front of you is a 70% bar of chocolate. 70% is a very simple thing. That means to a 10-pound batch, 7 pounds of it is cocoa or chocolate, and 3 pounds of it is sugar. 70%.
But there's little bumps on the back of it. What are those?
The ones that you have is chocolate nibs. So after it's set, we take some of the chocolate nibs. The nibs are the actual chocolate that you get out of the bean. That's
called a nib.
And they're
not processed at all.
No.
So they give this extra chocolate boost.
Gives, yeah, as well as a little bit of crunchiness, the flavor, and that real earthy chocolate goodness. Mm. Like, you know, it's like a roasted brownie.
Can I eat it now?
Can we eat it now?
Go ahead. Take a bite. And part of the tasting, just like with wine, besides looking at it, it's the first crack. Did you hear that crack?
I'm busy eating it. How can I?
That's an important thing to tasting chocolate. That's a better bar of chocolate. It's processed properly.
If it has a crack?
If the sound. So you listen for the sound. After the sound, if you stop chewing and just sort of let the flavors fill your mouth, let the flavors then go up your nose, sort of like breathing in over it.
I ate it already. I'm going to have another piece for this, you know.
Well, I've got more for you. Not a whole lot more, but I've got a couple more pieces. Now, if you think about it, first off, the flavor is all through your mouth. The flavor is in your nose. There's a lot of lingering flavor. I'm salivating from it, actually, talking through it.
I think our listeners are drooling from it.
But I never thought I'd have to be taught to eat chocolate.
Right.
But he's right.
But you can taste a little bit of tropicalness to it. You can taste a little bit of fruity flavors to it and earthiness. And the bitter is nice. That's what I love about the 70%. Mm. It's just got a lot of wonderful flavor and texture, but also the way it finishes on your mouth, it just sits there for, and so that you don't have to eat a lot of chocolate.
It's very buttery.
It's very buttery, but that's actually the type of bean that I have in St. Lucia, which is a Criollo bean, which is a very full, fatty bean, which is beautiful to that style.
So are we going to be able to buy your chocolates here?
I may bring it in to sell it here in Miami in one boutique, but in general, you have to come out to St. Lucia to Jade Mountain and enjoy this spectacular place.
Thank you, I'll be there.
Although I may sell it in London and Paris and New York and Miami. I'm thinking five little boutiques for this special chocolate.
And the tea?
And the tea, absolutely. And we're going to package that really cool.
Oh my goodness. That. Well, we're talking with Chef Alan Susser. If you can guess it, it's about chocolate. We'll take a short break here, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we've been talking with Chef Alan Susser. He's been giving us tips on how to taste. I didn't know I had to learn how to eat chocolate. and for all the you chocoholics, and I'm included here, we're all included, the Miami Fine Chocolate and Food Show is this Saturday and Sunday, March 9th and 10th. It's at Pinecrest Gardens. That's on South Red Road. That's 57th Avenue in Miami. Some of Miami's top chefs and chef instructors from my Miami Culinary Institute are going to be there. That's at Miami-Dade College. So there's going to be demonstrations and samples, and you can taste Alan Susser. Are we going to be able to taste your chocolate there?
I'm going to have the chocolate tea there, as well as I'm going to do some of the chocolates, and I'm going to...
That's worth the trip.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. The chocolate tea. You've got to come out for that. I'm going to do some of my chocolate as well, but spiced chocolate. The spices blend so well with chocolate. I'm going to do a curry chocolate with some pistachios and coconut and... A couple other.
Don't go any further.
A couple other ones, and I'll demonstrate also. So it'll be a lot of fun for the kids and the family.
Well, go to MiamiFineFoodShow.com for more information, or you can go to DinnerInMinutes.com, and that information will be on my blog. And it's Dinner in Minutes time. We have to have some dinner to go with all this chocolate, of course. But I picked a spicy one because we're having spices in the chocolate.
Nice.
So it's a cumin chili crusted snapper with tomato rice, and these are Latin spices that flavor this. So what I've done is I mix some flour and cumin and chili powder together, and I dip the fish fillets into that. First into just a little egg white, and then into the spiced flour. And I saute it for about 3 minutes per side for a half inch thick. If it's a little thicker, then cook it a little longer. But just remember that when you're cooking fish, you take it off the heat. It'll continue to cook in its own heat. You don't want to overcook fish. The side dish... I like to cook rice like pasta. That's how we did it in France. So I add it to rapidly boiling water for about 7 or 8 minutes, and then I drain it. And I toss it with some tomatoes and some salt and pepper, a little olive oil. And that's the whole recipe. Mm. Simple and easy. You can read the whole recipe at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. So, Bonnie and Joe, I know I can't compete with the chocolate, but how did you like the snapper?
Well, very good. It was a nice compliment to the chocolate.
And I've tried your rice cooking method last week on some basmati rice.
It came out perfect.
Well,
Joe, I'm so proud of you.
It doesn't stick that way. And
you don't have to measure anything.
Yeah. Right. I love that tip. That's a great tip.
So is it one to two?
I gave Alan Susser a tip.
Yes.
Cool.
What's the proportion? Is it 2 to 1?
No proportions.
It doesn't matter.
It's just like rice. A big pot of water, boiling. Add the rice slowly so it'll continue to boil. 9 minutes, done.
Dump it in a colander.
Colander, and then you sauce it with whatever you want. Well, let's go to Fred Tasker, because I'm sure he wants us to drink something with chocolate. Fred?
Absolutely. I did some research on what to drink with chocolate, and then I actually found some big surprises. It turns out that with chocolate, you can drink wine, beer, coffee, and even tea. But you have to pick them carefully. The basis for flavor matching is that both chocolate and the beverages I named have many of the same flavors. You might have fruit flavors like cherries and blueberries, or bitter flavors like the tannin in chocolate, and also in wine, coffee, and tea, and of course the bitterness of hops in the beer. But just like what Chef Alan was teaching us about how to taste chocolate, tasting chocolate with beverages also has a very strict technique. What you do, you first swirl the beverage and sniff it, and then you take a small sip and you note its aromas and flavors, and then you swallow that. Then you place a small piece of the chocolate on your tongue and you let it melt for a minute. And then you take another small sip of the beverage and swirl them around together to see if they blend or if they clash. And then I didn't know it was going to be this much work.
I was going to say, can we just eat the chocolate and drink?
Yeah. Well, it drives you to drink, I guess. Yeah. But then you swallow and you note the flavors that that linger on the finish. Now, people who have done this say that Hershey's milk chocolate goes best with things like light wheat beers or milder coffees and teas, and even sweeter white wines like Riesling or late harvest white dessert wines like Sauternes. And the semi-sweet, bittersweet, and dark chocolate go better with rich, hearty red wines like Zinfandel or Syrah, or what's my absolute favorite is rich, sweet, powerful red port. Mm. And some people will even match.
Alan's shaking his head up and down.
I'm right there with you with the port. You
oh,
ready?
I'm glad to hear that.
Okay.
That's a good phrase. And so some people even match the darker chocolates with brandy like Armagnac or Cognac.
The very good Armagnac and Cognac, I would assume.
Oh, well, if you got good chocolate, you better get good Armagnac.
Okay.
Yeah. And, of course, the best thing is both chocolate and beer are chock full of antioxidants. So if you have them together, always in moderation, I suppose. You'll probably live forever.
Well, we'll live forever. We've been enjoying this chocolate here. Chef Alan Susser, give us more advice about chocolate. The hardest thing, I think, for people to do is to melt chocolate so it doesn't get grainy. What should we do?
Okay, chocolate is funny because it reacts to water. So very often people say you put it into a double boiler so that you have the steam rising out of the lower container into an upper container, which is just melting the chocolate. If it goes slow, that's fine. Sometimes it boils up, and that's where you have that water mixture. Actually, the best way, which I would suggest, I think it's one of those secrets that lie in the kitchen, is using a microwave.
This is Chef Alan Susser telling you to use a microwave to melt chocolate. Go ahead, Alan.
But carefully.
I bet.
Using small amounts of chocolate. You can't put a lot in there. It has to be chopped up so that there's space in between. And doing it slowly. So that means putting it, depending on how hot, how efficient your microwave is, putting it in the microwave in a cup for about 10-15 seconds, take it out, stir it, put it back in, put it again for another 10-15 seconds, and doing this 3-4 times. and that will probably melt the chocolate completely. You don't actually have to melt the chocolate till it's liquid. It should be like 3/4 liquid or softened. And then the last one is you should mix it on your own, just melting it to the heat.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's still heat within from the microwave, there's still heat within the content. So you have to slowly mix that around, and then you'll have a beautiful, creamy chocolate.
Right, because I don't think people realize that when you're melting chocolate and it sort of gets grainy or lumpy a little bit, the first thing you think you're going to do is put water in. But if that happens to you, put some oil in.
Oil or butter.
Or butter. Fat.
Or cream. Yeah, something
right.
fatty in
we'll,
that sort
we'll
of
help,
fashion.
We'll help that.
Absolutely.
So another question I get asked so often, now that I have you here as an expert, what's the difference between semi-sweet chocolate and bittersweet? And can you use them interchangeably in recipes?
Okay. Chocolates are chocolates, and they can be used. There's difference in flavor. It's very much, as I started suggesting, about the sweetness level, bittersweet and extra bitter. It usually changes from about 70% sugar to chocolate to 60 to 56 to and going down in that sort of fashion. So a bittersweet is probably about 60%, and a 70% is more bitter, more chocolatey. And then milk chocolate is actually about 36%
right.
chocolate
mm-hmm. right.
and more filler, which is could be cocoa, butter, and sugars as well.
So you have to be aware of that when you're doing a recipe.
Absolutely.
Add more sugar, take it out, or whatever. Well, this has been really, really a tasty week. We could go on and on mm-hmm. with the chocolate.
Yes.
Chef Alan Susser, thank you so much for being here and for the fabulous chocolate. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Fred Tasker, wine columnist. Great advice as always, Fred.
Always a pleasure.
Bonnie and Joseph, you ate very well today.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for being
tea.
Here.
My pleasure.
Yes, it was so good.
Remember, it's the Miami Fine Food, Fine Chocolate and Food Show this weekend at Pinecrest Gardens. Well, next week, we're going to be talking about kitchen gadgets.
All right.
Okay. And I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.